Sam Shepard's play Fool for Love, about the violent reunion of longtime lovers in a seedy motel in the Mojave Desert, shocked audiences when it opened in 1983, but it was named a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize that year, and it's gone on to be considered a classic. Now it's been revived at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater on West 47th Street in a scintillating new production by Manhattan Theater Club in association with the Williamstown Theater Festival. Its run has been extended until December 13th, and I'm delighted to welcome the play's stars, Nina Arianda and Sam Rockwell, back to our show today. Hello.
Hi. Hi.
Nina, you won a Tony Award for your Broadway debut as Vanda in Venus and Fur, and this play is also about a power struggle between a man and a woman, but in a very different kind of setting.
Very different setting, yes.
Is this your first Sam Shepard play?
It is. I've worked on another Sam Shepard play, but as a member of crew in grad school, I worked on Curse of the Starving Class, so I had a pretty messy job cleaning up afterwards.
I'm wondering about cleaning up the bruises after appearing in this.
There's a little bit of body makeup that's involved in this show for sure, yeah.
Had you seen this play before?
I've never seen it. I've never seen the film. I've never seen a production of it, but I've always revisited it I kept rereading it throughout my life. Yeah.
Sam, the two of you originally performed this play in Williamstown last year to rave reviews. Was it always the plan to bring it to Broadway?
No, we struggled with that. Actually, we thought maybe we'd take it off Broadway because it's a very intimate play. But then we got this offer from MTC, and we decided to go for it because it's a pretty small house.
Well, the Friedman is the MTC's house on Broadway.
Yes.
They got it a few years ago, and it still feels like a Broadway house.
It does, and yet there's an intimacy there, too. And Nina assured me that she'd played there and that it was going to keep that.
So this is the first time this play has been done on Broadway.
It is.
Now, didn't you both take on the roles in Williamstown with short rehearsal period because the original leads had dropped out?
That's right. That's correct.
Are you still learning these roles?
Well, we're pretty in there by now, but we had about a year. It was tough the first time.
But the discoveries really are endless with this show. It's something that it's a pleasure to go to work because you really do get to learn something extraordinary and new every time you do it.
Well, you had a break. You did it in Williamstown, and then you had time off. I always wonder whether if you then return to something, whether it's still kind of germinated in your head during the hiatus.
Well, we kind of kept it alive by every moment that Sam was in town or that we were free, we would get together and read it and kind of spend a couple hours just talking about it and doing the lines. Yeah,
That's right.
So we kept it alive in that sense.
Sam, in the play, you spend a lot of time lassoing things.
Yeah.
Because Eddie's a rodeo cowboy.
That's right.
Was this a skill you already had, or did you have to learn it?
No, I had to learn it, and I was just getting it barely in Williamstown, and then I had some time to meet with some cowboys. I've done a couple of westerns, and I met some wranglers and cowboy stuntmen on those westerns, and So there's a guy named Kyle Gardner up in Massachusetts who helped me initially, and then this guy Sean Howe is a famous rodeo, but especially Cliff McLaughlin and his father Gene McLaughlin, who's a famous trick roper, helped me sort of change my roping game.
So do you think you could rope a calf now?
You know, I don't know. I've roped a few moving objects, people and dogs and things, but chairs,
co-stars.
But it's it's tough. It's different when you're on a horse, you know, and I've done my time on horses. I would have to see. Maybe.
Sam Shepard wrote this play at a turbulent time in his life. His marriage to the actress Olan Jones was kind of dissolving, and he was falling in love with Jessica Lange. Do we see that reflected in this play?
You know, I don't know. You'd have to see. You'd have to talk to Sam, but
you spoke to Sam, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean,
he's been spotted in the audience more than once.
Oh yeah, no, he came. He gave us some rewrites.
He was very involved. It was really
he was very involved. Definitely, and he did tell us that he wrote it during The Right Stuff, and he wrote it definitely for Ed Harris, and Kathy Baker was in The Right Stuff. I don't know if he wrote it for her or not, but I don't know. I mean, it was definitely a big time for him. You know, he was becoming a movie star, and he was a famous playwright, and he was with Jessica Lange. And It must have been an interesting time. Yeah. So I don't know though. I'm not sure.
What I found fascinating was that the last character that he added to the piece was the old man.
That's right.
And that's something.
It's
that
a
he
poor
shared.
Character play.
It is. Yeah, yeah. But it's to me, I can't imagine the play without that.
Yeah, the old
ghostly
man was the last.
Figure in a way, and it's funny that that's the last thing he added to it.
And the Countess was a character in the, initially.
Now she is mentioned, that. But she never appears.
Yeah.
She's called the Countess because she drives a big Mercedes-Benz.
I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of a mystery.
Yeah, yeah.
You get the feeling that she's also a vehicle for tormenting. These characters do a lot of tormenting each other, even when they're not physically hurting each other.
They're very tender and very mean to each other. Back and forth.
Because they know exactly how the other person thinks, and I think that's what comes from intimacy occasionally.
My guests are Nina Arianda and also Sam Rockwell, the two major stars of the revival of Fool for Love, now at the Samuel Friedman Theater on West 47th Street. The May and Eddie clearly have a long history. Do you think that because it's just how long it is part of what made the play so shocking when it first ran?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the twists and turns in the play, or the...
Well, why do you think it was seen as shocking then? Do you think that...
Well, I don't want to give anything away, but...
Well, I don't mean spoilers.
Yeah.
But do you think that audiences have become more blasé in the years since?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I'm not sure. We definitely get a lot of laughs, but I think it's nervous laughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people are uncomfortable, and so they laugh because they don't know how to deal with it sometimes.
The one thing he says in the beginning of the play is that it's to be performed relentlessly, and I think that, in a way, is what turns me on to the show. But I could understand how something that's relentless could be very uncomfortable for others in a way. But I think it's the only reason to do work, is if it is relentless.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Well,
yeah.
May is holed up in this motel where she's gone to get away from Eddie. And then he has come back for, he's come for her.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to go back to him, but yet her refrain is go and don't go.
Right.
Maybe that ambivalence was part of it because people were... because the violence and the door slamming are so shocking.
Right. But doubt is universal, and I think that's what she kind of lives with in a way.
There's a lot of door slamming, and the sound is amplified, isn't
mm-hmm,
it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is that specified in the script?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's in the stage directions. Yeah, most of that is in the stage directions.
Should we talk a bit about the violence? You both get thrown against walls and floors. How difficult is it to present that violence convincingly without getting injured or at least bruised? Did you have a fight coach?
We did. We had a really wonderful fight
David,
coach.
He helped us a lot.
David Leon.
He's really amazing. And we were very careful because this play has a history of injuries. And we were very, very careful to drill the fights over and over again.
But choreographed? I mean,
yeah, yes. Choreographed for sure. But, you know, I mean, the first time I threw Nina up against the wall, I mean, I didn't tell her I was going to do it, and I was worried afterwards, and I said, are you okay? And she said, yeah, let's do it again, you know, and that's because she's a baller, you know, she's a badass, and that's Nina, you know, like, you couldn't just do this play with anybody. You have to have somebody pretty, pretty tough.
But if I didn't trust you, I would have... not been okay with, you know, getting thrown into walls. But so you gift me that, sir. Thank you.
We obviously have to trust each other.
Absolutely.
And then those other two characters, you mentioned the old man, but then there's also Martin who has come to pick up May to go out on a date. Is he her chance for a normal life?
I think he is. I think he is, and I think that's part of the beautiful tragedy of it, is that we have this guy that comes in that kind of is represents a little bit of hope.
And the audience to some degree, because he witnesses what goes on between them.
He does, yeah.
That's right.
And then the old man is something that Shepard added very late in the production of it. He's a more nebulous character, and... he sits outside of the field of action. Is he meant to be a ghost or a figment of the imagination, someone that only May and Eddie can see?
A phantom, perhaps?
Maybe.
Yeah. No, I think he is. Yeah, I think that's essentially, it's really just in their minds. So, I mean, Martin doesn't see the old man. So, I mean, it's either in their unconscious, or it's a poltergeist.
Right.
Without giving away too much, there are some shocking revelations about Eddie and May's past relationship, which were considered daring 30 years ago.
Yes. Yes.
You think they would still be today? Or does this play seem more like something that we understand as
we see on a reality
part of the
show.
Regular culture?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I think some of this stuff's still pretty shocking, but I don't know.
I think it's still shocking, yeah. And I think having it be, you know, in a setting that's written so well makes it even that much more shocking.
Over the years, I've spoken to actors who go along with the Olivier idea that you work it out in rehearsal and then you do it the same way every night. And then others say, oh, that would be really, really awful and boring. It's got to change every night.
Yeah.
I suspect that it changes every night for the two of you.
It does. And I think, as our director, Daniel Auchin, has said, this play holds a lot. It holds pretty much anything you want to put in it. You can kind of go, there's certain notes that we have to hit, but you can, sometimes it can be very, very different.
Do you have a sense of where the audience stands on all of this, whether they are rooting for you to stay together or to break up?
You know, it's different every time.
It is, actually. Yeah,
everybody's interpretation of the ending is very different, you know.
And you get laughs on different lines, I suspect.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
Gasps on different things.
Yeah, we do. Sure.
We
yeah.
do, yeah.
Does that affect the performance?
It can, but I think as you get, as you sort of mature into the run, it affects you less, and you want to do your show. You know, Nina and I want to do our show with Gordon and Tom, and we don't want the audience to affect us too much, you know. I think a little bit's okay, but...
Some actors have told me that they keep on learning about their characters during the run of a performance, and I almost got the feeling that I should see any play the next to last night that it's performed, because that's when it all comes together.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen when this play ends on December 13th, or is it likely that you might extend the run?
I don't know. We haven't heard anything about that. But as far as it being a couple more weeks, this is kind of the juiciest time. I was telling Sam the other day how fun it is that you really kind of get caught off guard by your own discoveries in a way. I don't know if it's just because of the limited amount of time you have, but things just kind of come to light in an exciting way.
If he says something to you differently than he did the night before, then you have to adjust to that.
Of course, yeah. Mm. Of course, yeah. And like in any conversation. But especially, it's fun when you have the parameters of a script to work that out. And
we have information about tickets on our show page at WNYC.org. Fool for Love is on stage at the Manhattan Theater Club, Samuel J. Freedman Theater on West 47th Street until December 13th. So you have a little bit of time,
yeah.
A couple of weeks
yeah.
to see it. I know the classic question always at the end of one of these interviews is, what's next for you? Do you know what you're going to be doing next?
I think turkey on Thursday. That's my
plan. Yeah, short ribs. We're doing an animated...
They give you Thursday off?
Yes, we do have Thursday
you
off.
You and people
yes,
who work for yes. Costco.
We're both doing an animated movie called Adventures of Drunkie. Nina and I are both in it. That's something we're doing.
So you're going to start working as a team?
Yes.
My thanks to both of you for being on our show, Nina Arianda and Sam Rockwell. It's been a lot of fun talking with both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.